Thank God there is a God who can cure the incurable. You know the rest of the story. We cried to him, the Prince of Peace. He went for another test, and what was positive became negative. Every one of you here tonight, with any form of incurable disease, as long as Jesus is still alive, you will walk out of here healed in Jesus' name. A man cannot be at peace if he has problems financially. Like I told those of you who came to Divine Encounter of last Monday, and I want to encourage every one of you, get that tape, even if it's the only thing you buy this month, get that tape. It will do you good. Material storm is one of the worst storms anyone could have, because it could lead to other more horrible storms. In 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 8 to 16, 1 Kings 17, verse 8 to 16, it was because there was no money left, no food left in the house of the widow of Zarephath, that she said, rather than sit down and watch my son die of hunger, we will eat our last meal and just go ahead and die. Material storm can lead to suicidal thoughts. And some of you know the story of my uncle that I told before. When things went so bad that he had to be taking the wrapper of the wife to make Buba and Shoro, he decided death is better than shame. So he made up his mind, he would go to church on Sunday, he would sing, he would dance, everybody would notice him, then he would come home and kill himself. Fortunately, he had a word. God will speak to somebody here tonight. When the preacher said, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we don't know how God can deliver us, but we know he will. He heard that word, he said, I don't know how God can bring me out of this storm, but I refuse to die. And the Prince of Peace spoke peace to his storm. The day he was sharing his testimony, he has just purchased 14 cars for his company. If you are going through a financial storm tonight, peace in Jesus' name. In 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 24 to 30, 2 Kings 6, verse 24 to 30, the Bible tells us that when things got bad in Samaria, when there was no food, no money, nothing, two women reached an agreement. Each one had a son. Let's kill my son today and eat him, and tomorrow we'll eat your own son. When women begin to eat their children, you know things are bad. And like I told those of you who are here on Monday, you may say, no, that kind of situation can never occur in our nation. Really? I told them about the story of a woman who was arrested for selling her child. She sold her child. When they arrested her, she said, "Before, you can do whatever you like with me, but hear my story first. It is true, I sold the child. But at least where the child is going, the child will be fed. The child will have something to eat where she's going. And as for me too, the little money I made from her, I will eat something for a while." That situation that will cause you to want to sell your child, that kind of financial storm, will never come your way again in Jesus' name. But God can steal the financial storm. Because by the time you get to 2 Kings chapter 7, 2 Kings 7 verse 1 to 11, 2 Kings 7 verse 1 to 11, within 24 hours, the tide turned and food became surplus. That God is here on his throne. And those of you who are in serious financial storms because you came tonight, very soon in your life there will be peace like a river. Another kind of storm is what we call emotional storm. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Almighty. Daddy says I should let you know that many captives shall be free this month. Help me drive that in. Tell your neighbor, you shall be free this month. Emotional storm. Usually, the kind of storm that comes when something has come to frighten you, when you are afraid, or you are sad, but usually fear. In Exodus 14, from verse 10 to 28, Exodus 14, from verse 10 to 28, the Bible tells us that when the children of Israel looked behind and they saw the Egyptians coming, they were so afraid. There's a kind of fear that can tear a man apart, a kind of fear that renders a man helpless. They were so afraid. And when a man is afraid, he says things he doesn't want to say. He does things he doesn't want to do. Children of Israel turned on Moses. Moses, are there no graves in Egypt that will brought us into this place to die? Somehow they just decided death is coming. And this time it's going to be death without burial. But thank God, the Almighty God spoke and said to them that they should take a good look at the enemies. Because he said, the enemies we are seeing tonight, we will never see them again. And I believe that's a message for somebody here tonight. Whatever it is that is frightening you, whatever is causing you so much fear, in the mighty name of the Lord of hosts, that thing will be gone tonight. You know the rest of the story. By the time the sun arose, both Pharaoh and all his host have become food for the fish. In 1 Samuel 17, verse 1 to 51, 1 Samuel 17, verse 1 to 51, Bible tells us that for 40 days, Goliath terrorized the nation of Israel. For 40 days. But in a single day, the Almighty God silenced him. I don't know for how long you have been afraid, but after tonight, you will have peace like a river. How do I know? Isaiah 41, verse 10 to 13. Isaiah 41, verse 10 to 13. Bible says, the Almighty God said, fear not. He said, I will help you. And we've already prayed, God, hurry up and help me. And God is saying to somebody now, I will help you. He said, those who are incensed against you will be as nothing. He said, you will look for them, you won't find them. So shall it be in Jesus' name. I know what it is to be afraid. Now, some of you are looking at me now as if you have never known fear before. That's fine. Just pretend that you don't know what is called fear. But when you find yourself face to face with death, and there doesn't seem a way of escape, you will know what is called fear. Some of you remember, I told some of you the story before. When once I was traveling to London in our beloved Nigeria Airways of blessed memory. And I'm sure those of you who have traveled by plane before, you know once they say, fasten your seatbelt and they shut the door, your life is in God's hand. How many of you will say amen to that? Because that is the truth. Once they take off, God have mercy. Because unlike the motor car, if your car gives trouble, you park by the roadside. Over there, no parking space. So until you land safely again, your life is in God's hand. So we got to Heathrow. They have already asked us to fasten our seatbelts. We're about to land. And then all of a sudden, the captain came back and said, ladies and gentlemen, we have a little problem. The door at the belly of the plane has refused to open, which means the landing gear cannot come out. I was in first class because somebody bought me the ticket. I was a young man sitting for, and I was enjoying first class. And all kinds of rich people were there. The moment they had the announcement, that day I discovered that rich people don't want to die. Suddenly there was commotion. All those who have been behaving as if butter can't melt in their mouth. Suddenly we saw human beings. Because the meaning of the door can't open is clear. You are about to crash. I can't forget there was a particular man there. He had a golden walking stick with diamonds at the top. From Lagos to Heathrow, he has been pretending he wanted to go to the toilet so he can show us the walking stick. But this time now, he really wanted to go to the toilet. He got up. The hostess said, "Sit down, sir." He said, "Who said so?" And there was a woman behind me who was screaming, "Oh God, I'm going to London to look after my grandchild. Who asked her?" And you are laughing now because you are sitting on the ground. If you had been there that day, it would be a different story. And I'm telling you, Pastor Adeboye was frightened. Anointing or no anointing? When you come face to face with death, shut in an aeroplane, you know what is called fear. Quickly, my mind went through my life. Who did I offend? Who offended me that I've not forgotten? I've not forgiven. And then I said, "Daddy, you didn't tell me this is how it's going to end." Last night I was just saying to my son, "Bye-bye, I will bring you some toys." You didn't say, "I won't see my son again." And then God spoke to me. He will speak to somebody here tonight. He said, "Son, you are not going to die. I want to talk to you. And I know as soon as we land in London, they won't let us talk. There's something I must tell you before you land." Suddenly, peace came. Tonight, every one of you going through a storm, receive peace in Jesus' name. For 45 minutes, the plane was going around in circles while they were struggling to see if they could press one button or the other to get the door open. The plane was going round and round and round. And I was enjoying my daddy. I mean, all of a sudden, the pilot said, when the commotion was great, "Ladies and gentlemen, settle down. After all, this is Heathrow. And the firefighters, they are very good." Firefighters. Those who didn't know about fire now say, "You mean we are not only going to crash, we are going to burn." And after 45 minutes, when Daddy finished speaking to me, suddenly the door opened and we landed safely. Every one of you, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, in all your journeys, you will arrive safely. But then there could be another kind of storm, and that's marital storm. In Genesis chapter 16, verse 1 to 4, Genesis 16, verse 1 to 4. The Bible tells us the story of Sarah. Who told her husband Abraham, I said, "Well, I'm barren. Take my house girl. After all, a child is a child. Just go into her and let's have a child to play with." And Abraham agreed, went in, and the girl became pregnant immediately. Soon as she became pregnant, she turned on her mistress. Look at you. All these years, you have not been able to produce. Look at me now. Just one time. Barrenness can be a storm. That's why I'm praying for all of you who are believing God for the fruit of the womb. Before the end of this year, in your homes, there will be shouts of joy. The Bible tells us about what happened to Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1 to 6. 1 Samuel 1, verse 1 to 6. Not only has she a problem bearing children, the other woman in the home, the Bible said, vexed her sore. The other woman began to grind her nose in the dust. Hey, what are you doing in my husband's house? Just eating his food, producing nothing. But when God stepped into the situation, when the stiller of storms stepped into the situation of Sarah in Genesis 21 verse 1 to 6, Genesis 21 verse 1 to 6, he said, God has made me laugh. And those who hear will laugh with me. In the homes of all of you, trusting God for the fruit of the womb, this year there will be celebration. And when God stepped into this situation of Hannah, she wrote a new song. 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 10. 1 Samuel 2 verse 1 to 10. And many of you today, long before this year ends, will be singing a new song. When you read Mark chapter 5, from verse 35 to 42, Mark 5, thank you, Father. Thank you, Almighty. The Lord said, there's someone here tonight. He said, from now on, no more downward movement for you. Amen. Now this is for me, and I believe it is for somebody else too. The Lord said, there's someone here tonight, he said, you will begin to enjoy praying because there will be frequent answers to your prayers. In Mark chapter 5, from verse 35 to 42, in the story of Jairus, who had an only daughter, when they told him that that only daughter was dead, you could imagine the storm in his life. He had only one daughter. Not that he didn't want more, because the daughter was about 12 years old. But for one reason or the other, none came. And then that one died. There was a storm. But the Lord told him to fear not. And the still of storms stilled the storm. Every one of you going through family storms, in the name that's above every other name, the storms will be over today in Jesus' name. I'm sure the older pastors here will remember the story of one of our pastors. Might be probably sitting up there. The wife was pregnant, was almost ready to deliver. They went to church, had a wonderful service, came back home. The wife cooked. They sat down to eat. And while they were eating, the wife just fell from the chair and dropped down dead. pregnancy and all. When you talk about prayer, I've told you that there are all manners of prayers. There are prayers you pray like a gentleman when you have no storm. For after a storm, you will pray. You won't care who hears you shout. But the pastor began to shout, to cry unto the Lord. The neighbors heard the noise. They came. They looked down. They saw the woman. Somebody checked the pulse, found that she was dead. What's wrong with this man praying? They grabbed the woman to take her to the hospital because the death came so suddenly. The baby in the womb was still breathing. So they rushed her to the hospital. And when the doctor saw the situation, since the woman was dead, there was no need for anesthetics, they began operation immediately to see if they could at least reach the baby before it is too late. And everybody was praying, God, just let them reach the baby before it is too late. Only the pastor was praying, God, save my wife too. And so the doctor brought out the baby. Fortunately, the baby was still alive. And they quickly sewed up the woman. They didn't do it too tidily because she was dead anyway. But just as they were finishing sewing her up, she came back to life. True story. Not they say. True story. One of my pastors. There's no storm too big for the Lord to steal. Whatever storm is in your family tonight shall be stilled in Jesus' name. And then, of course, there could be storms spiritual. That's probably one of the worst storms you can ever think about. In Mark chapter 5, verse 1 to 20, Mark 5, verse 1 to 20, you know the story of the madman of Gadara, a man who had a legion of demons, and each time I told you about this story, in the past, I used to say that he was so mad that mad people call him mad. One day, one of my children said, madness is madness. I said, madness can be in categories. And I told him a true story. In the early days of the camp, when we first moved there, because nobody was living here, only the carpenters and myself when I come to pray. We have room where we can keep sick people. And we have, we have Bible college students there too. So when they find a case that are not responding to medical treatment, mad people, they will refer them. So they brought one from Ife, shackled hands and feet, but after prayers, after about 3 days, it's calmed down. We could now remove the shackles. Then they brought one from Abeokuta, who was still 100% mad. So they put him in the same room as the one from Ife. And the one from Ife ran out. Shouting, come and see these people. They have brought a madman to come and stay with me. Oh, Lord, have mercy. madness can be in categories. The madman of Gadara was mad of the highest category. But when he met the Prince of Peace, within the twinkling of an eye, the madman became an evangelist. All of you who have been tormented by one demon or the other, you shall be free tonight. Why? Because Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 to 10, Philippians 2, verse 9 to 10 says, God has given him a name that's above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Every demon, no matter how long it's been tormenting you, we leave you alone tonight in Jesus' name. But then, even though peace has been defined accurately by my brother who spoke before me as the absence of war, yet the greatest peace actually can be peace even when the storm is still raging. It is possible to have peace within a storm. For example, in 2 Kings chapter 6, 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15 to 17, 2 Kings 6, 15 to 17, the Bible tells us about how a king sent a whole army to go and arrest a man of God. And the servant of the man of God went out and saw that they were surrounded by horses and chariots and a whole army coming to arrest just one man. The poor young man was afraid. He ran inside, said to his master, "We are done for. We are finished. There's no escape." But the man of God was sitting on his rocking chair, completely at peace, saying, "Don't worry, my son. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." But the boy couldn't see it. He could only see two of them. I'm sure he must have said to his master, "Master, you don't see what I've seen." And so there's an enemy out there, and it doesn't matter how I count, whether I count one, two, or two, one, there are only two of us. And the man of God prayed a simple prayer and asked the Almighty God to open his eyes. And suddenly the young man saw horses and chariots of fire surrounding them. I told some of my children not too long ago, those of you who are fasting now, congratulations. When the storm comes, you shall rejoice. But those who refuse to fast now, they will fast in those days. Peace within a storm. In Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 41, Mark 4, 35 to 41, Bible tells us there was a storm, but Jesus was sleeping. The Prince of Peace was enjoying his sleep, even though the storm was raging. Oh, there's nothing as pleasant as peace within a storm. And I can tell you several stories. Some of them you have heard before. Maybe I just tell you one, because of those of you who are new. I was traveling again, this time again in the plane. This time I think it was British Airways. I was young, but it was after the experience of the first one that I mentioned. Young and hungry. I was traveling in economy class. And the food in economy, those of you who travel, you know, it won't feed the stomach of a hungry young man. We've already taken off, and they have already set the table before us. They've served us. When the captain came, I said, "Well, ladies and gentlemen, the weather boys have told us that around the time we'll be arriving in London, there'll be a storm. But don't worry, we will manage to land." The man sitting next to me, the moment he heard that, froze. He just froze. He couldn't eat. But because of my previous experience, I knew if he got me through before, he would get me through again. I just finished my food. Then I looked at the man. He wasn't eating. So I said, "Sir, you are not eating." And he looked at me surprised. Apparently, he had been watching me from the corner of his eyes. He said, "You mean you speak English?" I said, "Yes, sir." "You heard what the captain said?" I said, "Yes, sir." So I repeated, "You are not eating?" He said, "No." "Can I?" He said, "Okay." So I took his tray and gave him my own tray. And I finished his food. After which I slept. In the name that's above every other name, from tonight onward, you will enjoy peace like a river. And we got to Heathrow. And the same captain came on the speaker. Said, "Ladies and gentlemen, the weather boys have deceived us. There is no storm in London, the storm is in Scotland." I looked at the man next to me. He looked at me. And both of us began to laugh. It's too late for him to get his food back. But I heard God speak to me. Again, God will speak to somebody here tonight. I said, "Son, the weather boys did not make a mistake, but because of you, I diverted the storm. May I decree, as I've done before, any storm coming your way shall be diverted." Thank you, Father. Thank you, Almighty God. Thank you, Jesus. Almighty God asked me to tell someone, he said, the fellow will understand. He said simply, "Your joy will resurrect." Thank you, Daddy. Amen and amen and amen. The Lord said there's someone here tonight, and I know it must be me, but there might be somebody else. He said, before the end of this year, you will be riding high. Hallelujah, Father. The Lord said, there's someone here tonight. He said, what gave you the impression that your glorious days are past? He said, I am your hope of glory, and your glorious days are yet to come. Prince of Peace can steal any storm, physical storm, material storm, marital storm, emotional storm, spiritual storm. He can even give you peace inside a storm. However, the passage, the text I read to you, from where we got this theme, peace like a river, says, if only you have hearkened diligently to the commandments of your God, then your peace would have been like a river. In other words, he's saying the reason for the storm in your life is because you did not pay attention to his commandments. So he's saying, you want peace like a river? He says, you have to go back, check your ways, find out in what ways you have been disobeying God. If only you will hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, then your peace will be like a river. In Exodus 15 verse 26, Exodus 15 verse 26, he said, if you will hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and to do all that he commands you, he said, I won't even let you be sick. That's what God said. And forever, O Lord, thy word is settled. It is possible to be 100% healthy for the rest of your life if you will hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and to do all that he commands. He said, then I will bring none of the diseases that I brought upon the Egyptians upon you, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. He said, I will be your physician. I will be God, your healer. In 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1 to 14, 2 Kings 5, verse 1 to 14, Naaman came to the man of God with an incurable disease. The man of God said, go and wash, go and dip yourself 7 times in Jordan. Naaman said, are there no better rivers where I'm coming from? He's going to dip himself 7 times in a dirty river like Jordan. Okay. If you won't obey simple instruction, go ahead with your leprosy. The But when he obeyed, when he dipped himself seven times, not six. Because when he was coming up after the sixth dipping, he was still a leper. When God says seven, it must be seven. And when he was coming out the seventh time, the Bible said his skin came back to him like that of a brand new baby. If you will, okay, to observe and to do all these commandments, then you won't have to be sick. If you will hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and to do all that he commands, you won't have financial storms. I'm not the one who said so. It's God. Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 and 2, and then 11 to 12. Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy had been written long before you were born, before I was born. So I'm not the writer. If you will hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God to observe and to do all that he commands you, he said, I will set you above all nations of the world. He said, blessings will pursue you and overtake you. He said, you will never borrow. He said, you'll be lending to nations. I didn't write that. I didn't. It was there. And forever, oh Lord, thy word is settled. Oh no, some of you say, but that is in the Old Testament. All right, throw the Bible away and then cease to be a Christian. In 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 to 7, 2 Kings 4, verse 1 to 7, when that widow of the son of the prophets came to the man of God and said, I am not only in a financial storm, I am in a marital storm, I'm in a family storm, because the creditors are about to take my children into bondage. Help me. The man of God said to her, woman, listen carefully. Number one, go home. Number two, go and borrow empty vessels from your neighbors. Number three, shut the door on yourself and your sons. Number four, begin to pour the oil, the little oil you have, into the vessels, setting aside that which is full. Step by step, this is what I want you to do. The woman went and obeyed instructions to detail. If she had gone home, borrowed empty vessels, and did not shut the door on herself and the children, the oil would not have flowed. And the man of God told her, borrow not a few. If she had borrowed a few, the moment the empty vessels were finished, there were no more empty vessels, the oil stopped. If she had borrowed more vessels, the oil would have kept on flowing. It's not the pastor who wrote Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 to 11. Malachi 3, verse 8 to 11. When the Almighty God said, you are to bring all the tithes into the storehouse, all of it, all. Did they ask you to help him spend part of it? He said, bring all. He said, then he will open the windows of heaven. He said, he will rebuke devourers for your sake. Get the tape of last Monday. I don't have the time to tell you all the stories. It is when the Almighty God said to the widow of Zarephath, when the prophet said to the widow of Zarephath in 1 Kings 17, verse 8 to 16. 1 Kings 17, 8 to 16. When the prophet said, do my own first. That was a very serious, very difficult commandment. The widow obeyed. She never lacked throughout the famine again. I told those who were here on Monday, when God said in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 to 10, Proverbs 3, 9 to 10, honor me with your first fruit. He said, honor me. He didn't say, I need your money. And I told them, I said, check, those of you who are educated, when the universities all over the world, when they want to give honorary degrees, they give it to somebody who doesn't need it. They don't give honorary degrees to an unknown farmer. They look at somebody, they say, well, what can we give this man? You can't give him money, he has money. You can't give him clothes, he has clothes. You can't even say you want to give him a room in the vice chancellor's lodge. He has his own houses. Let's give him a degree to honor him. That's what God is saying. Honor me. I'm the all-sufficient one. But honor me. And then see how I will respond. In John 15, verse 16, John 15, verse 16, the Almighty God said, you have not chosen me, but I've chosen you, that you should go and bring forth fruit and make sure that your fruit will abide. He said, if you do that, then anything you ask, I will do it. And some of us complain that God has not been answering our prayers. How many souls have you won? Some of you have been born again 3 years. You haven't won a single soul to the Lord. And yet we are grumbling that we have storms. Here, storm there. You are afraid the answer hasn't come. How many souls have you won? He expects you to be winning souls regularly. He says a tree that is not producing fruit should be cut down. You should even be grateful to him that he hasn't cut you down yet. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 to 18, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17 to 18, he said, in all things you are to give thanks, and that you are to pray without ceasing. Why don't we just listen to his commandments and do them and see whether or not we have peace like a river? I'm about to close now so that we can have time to pray, because this year, by the grace of God, at least some of us will pray. Maybe the rest of us will watch us. Maybe the rest of us will join us. In the same Isaiah 48, verse 22. Isaiah 48, verse 22. And I think Mommy mentioned this while she was praying. The Bible stated categorically, no peace to the wicked, saith the Lord. You are living in sin? You want to continue to live in sin? And you are asking for peace? God says it's not going to happen. No peace to the wicked. You don't come out of your life of sin. You want to be rich, and so you are stealing. But the word of God is clear on these things. He said, as a partridge sits on an egg, and hatch or sit on eggs and hatch them not. He says, so with those who gather wealth, but not by righteousness, we die in the middle of their days and at them be a fool. Why don't we follow his instructions? And then we'll have peace. He's the Prince of Peace. He can still any storm, no matter how big. But you have to surrender to him first. You have to make up your mind. You want to say bye-bye to a life of sin. You want to live a life of holiness. You want to live a life that will be pleasing to the Almighty God. And then the Prince of Peace will arise for you and he will steal all your storms. So if there's anyone here tonight and you want to say bye-bye to a life of sin, you want now to begin to do the will of God, you want to live for God from now on, so that you too can enjoy the peace that only the Prince of Peace can give, you can come forward now, surrender your life to Jesus, and I will pray for your salvation, and you begin to enjoy peace like a river. I'm going to count from 1 to 15, because I can see some of you very far away. But before I say 15, if you want to give your life to Jesus, you must be standing before me. If you are not standing before me by the time I say 15, I know you don't want to come. And then we will continue because the rest of us want to pray. Now I'm counting. 1, 2. Three. 5. Six. As you come, begin to pray. Don't wait for the others. You just begin to pray. Begin to talk to Jesus, asking him to save your soul. 7. Thank you, those of you who are clapping. God will bless your hands. 8. 9. 10. 11. 12. 13. Keep coming, the rest of you, keep coming. Brethren, let's lift our hands towards these people and pray for them that the Almighty God will save their souls today, that God will give them a brand new beginning, that He will cleanse them from all their sins. Please pray for them, brethren, intercede for every one of them, that today a new beginning will start in their lives, that they will begin a life free from sin and begin to live a life that will be pleasing to God. Hurry up, those of you who are still on the way, because I'm about to pray now. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Just keep coming. Make sure you get here before I finish praying. Let's intercede for them for another 30 seconds. Pray that the Almighty God will save their souls, forgive all their sins, give them a brand new beginning. Thank you, Jesus. Hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. Thank you, Savior. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Savior, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for your word. And thank you for these people who have come forward to surrender their life to you. Please remember your promise that whosoever will come unto you, you will nowise cast out. They have come to you now, Father. Please receive them in Jesus' name. Have mercy on them in Jesus' name. Let your blood wash away their sins in Jesus' name. Father, give them a brand new beginning today in Jesus' name. Write their names in the book of life. And from now on, anytime they call on you, please answer them by fire. Let them serve you to the end. Don't let them go back into the world. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. And now those of you in front, let me hear you shout hallelujah. Well, I want to make you a solemn promise that from now on, by the grace of God, I'll be praying for you. And very soon you'll be receiving miracles, and you will know that there must be somebody somewhere praying for you, and that somebody will be me. So that's why I'm going to need your names, your address, and your prayer request. And I promise you, I'll be praying. So if you turn to your left, you see a man there waving a piece of wood. Please follow him. He will take you to where some pastors are waiting for you. They will collect the information I need, and then they bring you back very quickly. God bless you. You can begin to go now. Let's clap for Jesus as they go. Let's give the Lord a big round of applause as they go. Keep clapping, keep clapping. Your hands will never be empty. Keep clapping. Or maybe you want to write down your prayer points, because we want to pray now. Number one, you want to praise him because the Prince of Peace is your Father. Praise God because the Prince of Peace is your Father. Number two, you say, Father, please forgive all my acts of disobedience. Please forgive all my acts of disobedience. Number three, Father, let me cease to be my own enemy. Father, let me cease to be my own enemy. Number four. Father, give me the grace to restitute my ways and change my attitude to your commandments. Give me the grace to restitute my ways and change my attitude to your commandments. Father, give me tonight the spirit of total obedience to your word. Give me tonight the spirit of total obedience to your word. And then number six. Father, please let every storm in my body, in my soul, in my spirit cease tonight. Let every storm in my body, soul, and spirit cease tonight. Number seven, Father, please let there be no more financial storms in my life forever. Father, let there be no more financial storms in my life forever. Number eight. Father, command every storm in my family to cease now. Father, command every storm in my family to cease now. Number 9, Father, please arise. And scatter all the enemies of my peace. Please arise and scatter all the enemies of my peace. Number 10, Father, every plant you have not planted in my life, in my home, in my business, in your church, uproot this month every plant you have not planted in my life, in my home, in my business, in your church, uproot this month in Jesus' mighty name. We have prayed. Now I want you to pray with all your strength now. Loud and clear, say, in the mighty name of Jesus, I say, in the mighty name of Jesus, from now on, I will obey God. Therefore, I command every storm in my life. Be still. Be still. Be still. Go ahead, talk to the Almighty God. In the name of Jesus. From now on, I will obey God. Therefore, I command every storm in my life, be still, be still, be still. I command every storm in my life, be still. Now I want you to join your hands together. You want to pray for your neighbor now. And I want you to pray as if you are really angry. I say, in the name of Jesus. Neighbor, you are coming out tonight. You are coming out of sickness. You are coming out of bondage. You are coming out of failure. In the name of Jesus, you are coming out tonight. Go ahead, pray in the name of Jesus. You are coming out tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus. Coming out of sickness. You are coming out of sorrow. Coming out of failure, you're coming out of bondage, you're coming out of fear, you're coming out tonight. In the name of Jesus, you're coming out tonight. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Just one more prayer. Pray it with all your heart. Because the word of God that is forever settled says, if two of us shall agree as touching anything that we shall ask on earth, it will be done for us by our Father in heaven. So lift your voice loud and clear. Say, in the name of Jesus. Neighbor, I agree with you. From now on, you will enjoy peace like a river. Go ahead, talk to the Almighty God. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. The Almighty God will answer your prayers. He will forgive all your acts of disobedience. The grace to obey God completely. Receive it now. There will be peace in your bodies. There will be peace in your soul. There will be peace in your spirit. There will be peace in your home. There will be peace in your family. There will be peace in your finances. Every storm in your life went tonight. All the enemies of your peace shall be buried this month. You will enjoy peace like a river. It shall be well with you. And from now on, you will serve the Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.